Bruchim Abayim to the seventh and continuing series of Shiurim on the history and philosophy of the Kabbalah. At the end of last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, we took a break, that I mentioned that a fundamental dispute between the Gra and the Arizal, and actually understanding what appears to be a contradiction, a stira between two members in the Zohar, and their ways of resolving the stira, in my opinion, is an important clue as to understanding exactly both how they understood to be the revelations of the Kabbalah, and especially the readings of the main part of the Zohar, namely the Idraben Idrazuta. I want to go back to this, and I want to summarize a little bit what might have been said. I don't even remember what I said, what I didn't say. But there's a very famous contradiction in the Zohar. The contradiction is actually raised by the Ramak in the Sefer, in the Padas Rimoinim. The Zohar, I think in Chelek Gimel, says there that that there's a zivo, which means there's a union of two of the highest spheres, of Abba ve'ima, and this zivo is only, in other words, this zivo is only, in fact, it's continuous. In other words, the zivo is what's called a continuous union of two spheres, of two elements of spirituality. I'll explain what that means a little bit later. But then, elsewhere, in the Kunei Zohar, so it mentions that the zivug, the union of the Chachma Bina, of two spheres, is actually, in fact, not continuous, but actually happens from time to time. The Lashon is whether it's Tadir or Einu Tadir. And so, therefore, the Ramak in the Padas Ramayim attempts to resolve this, but the resolution of the Ramak will not interest us now, since neither the Ari nor the Gra actually refer to it. In any case, the Gra's resolution is the following resolution. The Gra's resolution in general, I'm going to read inside the Gra in Yitzhak Shem a little while and see what he says inside in the text. I'm sorry, the Gra, but the Ari's resolution is a very simple resolution. Is that that which it says that the spheres of wisdom and understanding, Chachma and Bina, are perpetually united, right? That's a union which is on a lower level, which basically energizes the world on its basic level, which is able to persist. In other words, it's not a union which raises things to the highest spiritual heights that are possible, but rather keeps the world going on a minimal spiritual level. That's the Radhati Rizal says. That's the union of wisdom and understanding. That's, even though these two spheres, these two elements of spirituality, are actually higher levels around wisdom and understanding, nonetheless, the higher zivug, the higher union, is something which basically perpetuates the world, keeps it going on a minimal level. On the other hand, though, the union of two lower elements of spirituality, right? This is, he's going to speak about it in the language of spheres, is Teferas and Malchus. That was the lower union, is actually that union which energizes the world and brings it to its highest level of spirituality. So, according to the Ari, we have a certain type of a paradox. The higher spiritual union produces a minimal persistence of things. Whereas the lowest spiritual union is actually that which brings things to their greatest spiritual heights. It's a type of a paradox which I'm going to explain in a little while. Now, the Ari actually says this in several places. He says it in the Kavanas, where he speaks about the mystical intentions one is supposed to have, right, during tefillah, during the prayer, which includes Kriya Shema. But actually, probably the place, which is probably the earliest source, is in the Mamari Rashbi of the Arizal. In my edition, it's Daf Nuntes, Seif Amad Aleph, and Reish Amad Beis. And there, the Ari says, he speaks about four spheres, which means four types of spiritualities. There's Chochma and Bina, which is wisdom and understanding, which unite. And then there's Tferes and Malchus, which are the lower levels of spirituality, which refer to not to, let's say, they're not the thinking. They're not thinking spheres. They're not thinking elements of spirituality, wisdom and understanding, but rather they deal with Tferes and Malchus, which you associate with, the Midas, the types of ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu directs the world. So he says that, quoting the Zohar, which says that Chochma and Bina, wisdom and understanding, lo mispashin la'almin, right? Kechada nafka v'chada sharya is the language of the Zohar, which means they never leave each other, they're eternally united. That's one type of a spiritual union. Spiritual union is like a spiritual happening, right? But the lower spiritual elements, namely Teferos and Malchus, which deal with the lower worlds. So their zivug, their spiritual union, is something which only occurs at certain times. It's not continuous. I mean, as a minimal statement, the other thing is discontinuous, but it happens only from time to time. So says the Ari as follows. He says, right, Vanira Elenu Bazehu, the Ari goes on in Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, here in the Shara Mamar Yashbi, Ki Shnei Mnei Zivugim, these two types of spiritual unions, Elu Tzri, and once again, a union is something which produces spirituality. A union is something which generates creation, spirituality. So it says the first type of union produces that these types of unions, we have to produce malachim, which are angels, and ruchim, kadishim, and different types of, different types of spiritual beings, and the neshamas for the elyonim, souls for the higher worlds, and for the lower worlds. So he says like this, the union of wisdom, the union of wisdom and understanding, which is chachma bina, that produces malachim, which are angels, ruchim kadishim, different spiritual, creatures, and produces neshamas for the higher angels. Okay, but he says these are not really neshamas; they're not really souls, but rather it's chayusa. In other words, it gives them life. And this is basically, like it says, vatama chayeskula. It basically gives them a life, an energizing force that keeps them going. And that's what he says, and he calls it Zoya. But the zivug, the union of what he called teferas ha'malchus, which are lower levels of spirituality that have to do more with the physical world, right? Well, close physical world. These give neshamas for tachtoinen. It gives mamish neshamas for real neshamas, which grind real neshamas for the tachtoinen. The frokum le'itim uzumanim, at very specific times, right? Okay, so and that's what he says. That and he goes on and says that, and this is in fact actually this is the higher. This produces the higher level of spirituality. And he actually quotes the Gemara in Titus. The Gemara says, because Bochum makes a shvua, an oath, well, Yikanis Bushlaim Shalmaili will not enter into the celestial Jerusalem, Achi Yikanis Bushlaim Shalmat, until the Klaiyus of the Jewish people enter into the terrestrial Jerusalem, lower Jerusalem. Meaning is that the spirituality which rises to the highest levels is that spirituality which is generated by Klai Yisrael, by the Jewish people below. Therefore, there's a hisayros, his arusim el tator, a rejuvenation that comes from below. And this, in fact, inspires all of the higher worlds to unite on higher spiritual levels, which go even beyond the union of wisdom and understanding, chokhmah and bina. They reached even higher levels of will, right, etc., etc. And this is the yeshita of the Ari. So, in other words, the Ari understands, we have here several consequences of the Shita of the Ari, which are important. In fact, this is a very important concept. By the way, the Ari repeats this in many places. Just to mention another Maramakim, in Chavtesim and Aleph, he speaks about tefillah, that at times that a person prays, he's able to rejuvenate and energize the lower worlds, which feed inspiration to the higher worlds, and that brings us to the highest, highest levels. In other words, basically for the Ari, spirituality at the very, very top is in fact inspired only from the lower, for the lower spiritual unions. Whereas the second, the other type of spiritual union between wisdom and understanding, which ostensibly is a union on a higher level between two spheres, two spiritual entities on a higher level, just basically keeps the world going. Now, I don't want to go into detail because it's not really important. This is not a shiur in Kabbalah. This is the history of the philosophy of the Kabbalah. But there are several important consequences of the Ari's resolution. I mean, the very, very fact that the Groh resolves things in a different manner means that the Ari is choosing, as a result of his Bechira, his intellectual free will, for those of us who still believe in that kind of thing, he's choosing to resolve this, but there are consequences of what he's saying. First of all, in the Ari's resolution, the focus is on man. The focus is on man, because the spiritual union of the lower spheres is really something which is inspired by man, is activated by man. In the Ari, there's an emphasis on acts of man. Man is the person who inspires. The higher worlds, as high as they are, basically just keep the world going. But they're limited into what they're able to spiritually accomplish. Man, who's on a higher level, lower level, ostensibly, he is the only person who can activate the lower spheres, right? Which in turn inspire, right, spiritual activity on much higher levels. So in other words, in the Ari we see the tremendous power and capacity of man, which, by the way, is like not such a, you know, it's more of a Litvish type of a thing. But in any case, this was comes out from the Ari. So in the Ari we have a focus of the man's acts. Now, that's number one. Number two is another consequence of the Ari, because when the Ari speaks about energizing, inspiring the lower worlds, which begins with the union of the lower spiritual spheres, he doesn't necessarily speak about Limud HaTorah. On the contrary, if we're speaking about necessarily Limud HaTorah, we speak about wisdom and understanding, the Ari really is speaking about mitzvahs. In fact, I mentioned to you Daf Chav Tes Samad Aleph, when the Ari actually speaks about these two zivugim, he's actually speaking about tefillah, mostly tefillah. In fact, where it comes into play in the Ari is in tefillah. So we see in the Ari that the emphasis of man's spiritual capacity and creativity is actually by doing mitzvahs, and in particular, by prayer, through davening, through tefillah. And this is an important thing. In Chav Tes Samad Aleph and Beis, the Ari goes into detail of a person's tefillah, which is, you know, we don't pray all day. We don't daven all day. We pray only certain times of the day. And these tefillahs actually reach to the highest levels. I mean, Talmud Torah is a mitzvah all day long. But it sounds like Chachma Bina. It just keeps the world going. But what? At a minimal level. But on the other hand, though, tefillah, the mitzvahs, actually reaches up to the higher echelons of spirituality. So we see in the Ari that another consequence of this is the importance of mitzvahs. Now, in fact, actually, one of the reasons I'm saying this is not only is it, in my opinion, pretty clear from the Ari, but if you don't believe me, the Goyen's interpretation of the two types of spiritual unions is that the spiritual union of wisdom and understanding is Torah, and the lower unions are mitzvahs. The Goyen's, of course, going to reverse the entire process. According to the Goyen, the higher union is, of course, wisdom and understanding, and the lower union is actually the mitzvahs. They're opposite of the Ari. But for the Goyen, we understand what the Ari's position is, that mitzvahs are primary. And this actually, in fact, and among mitzvahs, the examples that he gives, most notably, are that of tefillah. And of course, that figures into what we know about the Ari. The Ari says, and he's quoted by, among many people, the Baal HaTanya, that we know that the Ari said that in the ikvos of the Meshichus, right, tefillah takes a much more central role in our hastening of the spiritual redemption. So, in other words, that's the second consequence that comes to the Ari. But I want to speak about a third consequence of the Ari, which I think is important. It's a little bit more subtle, but I think it's going to be the major consequence. I think it's going to actually represent the major dispute with the Goyim. And the fact is, and this dispute is paradoxical. Because when we speak about the two spiritual unions, it comes out the spiritual union of the highest spiritual entities, wisdom and understanding, keeps the world going. The union of the lowest spiritual entities is that which in fact actually is that which in fact actually represents the pinnacle of spiritual rectification. So the question is, there's a paradox here. Why should higher spiritual entities produce a lower level of persistence, of, you know, and lower spiritual entities produce a higher level of spiritual rectification? We have a paradox. In other words, if the Ari just spoke about Isamusa Milhata, inspiration from below, okay, we understand that. There's a paradox added to here, because the higher spiritual levels are unable to reach heights the lower spiritual levels are. And that's the paradox of the Ari. Now, what I'm going to say, in my opinion, is I'm going to say something here that's called a chiddush. It's a novel. And I understand that I can't prove it to you. But actually, when I go to the Gaur, I hope actually to Mimela try to give you an inkling that maybe what I'm saying is correct. Up till now, we're speaking about man, a Jew, a Yid doing mitzvahs, and to what degree a person, in fact, actually important in mitzvahs. By the way, you should know something. The Chagav, the Nefesh HaChaim, says at the end of Shana Aleph that the kavanas of the Ari were not meant to for practice. They were just to give a person, like somehow to inspire a person how far his actions reach. Which means Nefesh HaChaim didn't understand that the kavanas were actually, that in my opinion, that's a direct machlokes on the Ari's understanding of the two zivukim. I mean, why would this incredible zivuk, Milatatoa, just be this for an inspiration and actually for usage? But I want to say actually a different thing in the Ari. And this is going to be a chiddush. I said it's going to be a chiddush, but you're going to have to swallow it. You can agree or disagree. I think the Ari is speaking about himself. Meaning what? What a Chachma and Bina. Chachma and Bina, in my opinion, is really the Kabbalah of the Rishonim. Or maybe the philosophy of the Rishonim, the Rabbah, maybe the Ramak. The Ari's contention, the Ari himself writes, we've seen this in previous Shivorim, that the previous generations, in a certain sense, weren't privy to the Ari's revelations. I mean, I think there's a statement of the Ari, Ramak is about to tell you. In other words, the Ari's Kabbalah is actually coming to reveal things that ostensibly were not known by previous generations. There's a chidush here. I mean, the Leshen.
He says the Ramban used
that. Ramban, concealed.
Concealed.
It wasn't
revealed in the world.
But the fact wasn't revealed in the world. In fact, even more so, the Leshen, on the basis, the Leshen says in the Chidush Be'orim, that even though in Halacha we recognize something which is called his katnus haderes, yiridas haderes, the deres decline, because that's only in Halacha. In Nista, and his main point is the Ari, he's speaking about the Gilya Zoya, because of course the Gilya Zoya, the Ari is the first person to really explain, to elucidate the Zoya, is Aliyas haderes. I want to say is that the Ari's understanding here is a mashal for himself. Chachman Bina, even though they're higher, which means they go back in time. They're before. Chachman Bina emerged, wisdom and understanding emerged before, right? Tiferes HaMalchus, for sure. I mean, the Sefiras, Tiferes HaMalchus come afterwards. But that's the Ari. But of course, what the Ari has to say is producing spiritual rectifications, is making spiritual, right, and vibrations which reach higher and far beyond that of Chachman Bina. The Ari is speaking about himself. The Ari is describing what he's doing. That's what the Ari is doing. It was the Ari is saying Chachman Bina are minimal. I guess, you know, from the Vulchim, the philosophy. But the fact is, the Ari in history is coming to reveal to us dimensions of spirituality that reach far and beyond that of his predecessors. And that's exactly, in my opinion, a third consequence of the Ari. We spoke about Shvira, the centrality of Shvira, of shattering the vessels in the Ari. in a certain sense, the Ariz, Kabbalah, comes to shatter the vessels in the previous generations. The Ariz Kabbalah, and I'm Chas V'Shalom, is certainly a description of the higher world. But like everything, which is ultimate truth, it's also a description of the Ari himself, what the Ari is doing. Just like John Wheeler in several articles, I remember speaking about that through quantum mechanics, in a certain sense, in the Big Bang, we participate as much in the creation of the world as the world itself. The observer and the world are related, and there's no dichotomy, they're correlated. So that's anthropic principles of Wheeler. I mean, I think that this expresses the Ari too. The Ari is, when the Ari speaks about Chochma Bina as being a lower level, and he speaks about, the lower things as producing higher levels, and in the Ari, the entire Kabbalah, the Ari is the higher Patsufim are actually connected with the lower Patsufim in ways in which Chochma Bina are not, that it comes out that the Ari is actually speaking about himself, speaking about his Kabbalah. Okay? Now, my opinion is, even though I said this is a novel poem, yeah, question?
What would be the alternative?
Wait a second, I'm going to get to this. Now, in my opinion, and I'm saying this with great modesty, in my opinion, the person who best understood the Ari was the Goyim. Because a lot of what I'm saying is, in fact, actually, I understood after learning the Goyim. Okay, so first of all, we have to understand that the stira, the contradiction of Zayas, and the resolution, the Goyim argues, as you say in Yiddish, punkt fakir, exactly the opposite. The Goyim, for example, in the Safa, this Perush, this commentary on the Safa, this Deosa, Yud Gimel, I would say Gimel Abed Dalet, because there's actually two columns on every page, right? Gimel Dalet, where he says Shnei Minei Zivugim. So, I mean, the Goyim begins by saying there's two Zivugim, just like the Ari, right? In the mouth, one is Bechef the Goyim, one's in the throat, and one's in the tongue. And it's very hidden, right? And then one is in the tongue that comes out. There's a hidden zivug, which is very hidden, and one which is much more external. But then the Goyim, of course, brings the stilas, the contradictions, and the zayas, of course, this tremendous bekiyas and shlita of every Maimon Chazal. It says the Goyim, I'm reading because I think this is where he summarizes things. It happens to be where I have underlined. But on Yudalit, at the beginning of Amud Bey, it's actually the three lines down. So I'm going to quote what the Goyim says. The Zivug HaElyon, the higher Zivug, but Elyon means higher spiritually, who beside Chachma, beside Haven b'Chachma. That's wisdom and understanding. V'lechenu ne'elam. And therefore it's hidden, right? And therefore, lo pasik tadir. It's continuous. Shein rein lo mispashin. There's two, right? Two that never separate, right? But then there's a second zivug, right? There's a second zivug, and that's lower. And that's only when a person speaks. And this second zivug creates the malachim. But the zivug harisha creates the real neshamas. So in other words, what the Goyim says is exactly the opposite of the Ari. According to the Goyim, the Ikar Zivug, the main Zivug, is Chochma Bina. Chochma Bina. And that creates the Shabbos, and that's Tadir. That's always. The lower Zivug, which calls the Zivug, right, of Dibur, of the tongue, of the Lashon, right? That's already a lower Zivug. And only happens when a person speaks when he says things. That's what the Goyim says. Now, the Goyim says a lot of things in different places. But, for example, in the very end of the Sefer, there's a Sefer was published both as Perush Safa Tzneiosa and as Perush Shanei Chalos, So the very end of the sefer, it's on Daf Lamed Zayin, then the Goyim speaks about the two zivugim, right? So he says that the zivug, the lower zivug, right, is basically the mitzvahs. And the higher zivug is a zivug of Torah. Right? In other words, the zivug between wisdom and understanding, here he uses the lashon of Zayab of the Ima, is neshama. And neshmasa neshmasa, neshama to neshama. In other words, the higher zivug. Lomas paldim la'alman. There's a constant zivug of wisdom and understanding that perpetuates it. That's what creates the shamans. The lower zivug is the zivug of mitzvahs, and he says that's lepraka, because it was an incredible thing. We get a bit of mitzvahs. Where does he do mitzvahs all day? You know, he puts on, you know, he does mitzvahs, you know, time to time. That's lower. Torah is continuous. Because the God of Torah is continuous. And since Torah is continuous, so therefore, the zivug of wisdom and understanding, that's the continuous zivug. That's what the God says. Okay, now, first of all, we see consequences of the God. First of all, we see the uniqueness of Torah. This is the Nefesh HaChayim, clearly. Of course, there's no coincidence. He was his Talmud. But we see that with the Nefesh HaChayim, he places Torah on the highest level before all the worlds, right? I mean, this is part and parcel of the Goyim's Kabbalah. Not to mention, we spoke about the Rishimo, etc., but this is part and parcel of the Goyim's Kabbalah. But we something, so that seems to be a clear thing. In other words, in the Ari, the focus is on mitzvahs, and the Goyim, the focus, the highest level is on Torah. But what it seems to me is that we have here a little bit of an anomaly and a paradox in the Gaon. They really had a paradox because of the fact is that, I mean, how could the higher spiritual union, right, be less spiritually competent than the lower spiritual union? But we have perhaps in the Gaon. What is this spiritual union of wisdom? What is it? I mean, it's not man learning, because man is learning all the time. In other words, in the Ari, I understand the centrality of man. Man is the person who generates spirituality. And that makes sense, because Baal created the world, so the man should do mitzvahs. So once a man does mitzvah, he is zak in the world. But according to the Goyim, this higher spiritual union, this higher zivug, I mean, man doesn't... How is it connected with man? It could possibly be when I learn Torah, I connect with it, but I don't learn Torah 24 hours a day. I know there's a din that a person not Messiah das from Torah. That's why Birch Torah, right? According to many Rishonim, we make it once and it's good for the entire day. But I'm saying is, but still, I mean, practically speaking, man doesn't sit and learn Torah the entire day. Maybe it's Klal Yisrael, and Nefesh HaChayim says, if a person will put down, if no one be learning Torah for 1 minute in a day, the whole will be destroyed. But it's very difficult to say that. In other words, the Zibuk of Torah, the Zibuk of Chorobina, which according to the Goyim, the Zibuk of Torah, I mean, it's not being generated by man. It's not being generated by man. If it's not being generated by man, so who needs man? God did not, Kadosh Baruch Hu had to create the world. Well, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that should have a zivug that produces the shavu, that's true. So where's the purpose of man? What's the purpose of creation? The Ari, I understand why man was created. Man was created in order that he should, you know, generate spirituality. But if Kadosh Baruch Hu, if things are being done mechanically, if the highest levels are being done mechanically, so what connection, what role is the man? What's the purpose of creation? What's the purpose of all of history? That's the paradox I have on the gun. And it's very interesting that the Goyim, actually it's interesting that in Yal Oil, which is the Goyim's Perush on the Zayah, in Parshas Zayach, so the Goyim there speaks about the fact that the neshama of a person is not within a person, it's outside of a person. In fact, actually, the Nefesh HaChayim says, and Nefesh HaAlah, present neshama is actually in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's lungs, kiviyachal. It's not inside of a person. I think that's Lafuke Yari. He understands that that the Meichel that come into the world invested his group with the Shamas. The Goyim, the Shamas outside. But I don't know if that's already separate topic. What I'm saying is that, so what purpose is there for man? What purpose is there for man? But I have a second question on the Kohen. I mean, the Kohen, what purpose is there besides that? Is that, you see, Chacham and Bina, the Kohen, will recognize wisdom and understanding are not the highest levels. They're not the highest levels. Above Chacham Bina in the spheres are the world, spiritual worlds of will, Keser, Ratzon, and the Paltzufim of Deri, the Arich and Atik. We don't go into what they are, but the point is that, so according to Deri, we had a paradox. We decided that no, that actually spirituality has to go from bottom up. In other words, there is paradoxical, but there is, in the Ri's system of thought, spirituality is generated below and reaches up to the highest levels. That's the Ri. But according to the Goyim, spirituality goes from the top bottom down. If spirituality goes from the top down, so, I mean, Chacham and Bina, while they're high, they're not the highest level. They're not the highest. Above Chacham and Bina, above wisdom and understanding, there are levels of spirituality higher than that. I mean, the Goyim himself quotes these, Atik, Arich, Keser, all these types of things, whatever they are. So, if it's top down, so, what about the higher levels? The Goyim speaks a little bit about this. I see in Likutei Agor, at the back end of the Saf of the Stanger, so there's Likutim of the Agor. He speaks about things above Chachma, Lamayim Michachma. By the way, there's a Tol Sefer. There's actually mistakes in our things. He says for cost of in the Kuti Agro, the back of the Safra, in Lamed Ches of Adalit, Lamayla Shachayla Michachma. This Rotzon, going speaks about Rotzon. It's higher than Chachma. He speaks about this more in Yisrael Kolom. You go to Shkafel Kodatka. We spoke about this. But what are these things? So I came to the following conclusion. In a certain sense, what the Ari did in Nista was to uncover spiritual worlds, at least higher than his immediate predecessors. The Goyim did that in Libra Atena. I mean, we know, for example, is one of the Rishayim. The entire project of the Goyim, not only in Halacha, in Agarata, in Medrash, even in Zoya, was in fact to reach back to earlier sources and use these earlier sources not only to bring proofs and to be machriya, to resolve the halacha, but actually to argue with those who came before it. The Goyim, even many places, makes changes in Gilsa, and with that, argues on every Jew who came after Rabbi Rav Ashi. I didn't say he's arguing on Rabbi Rav Ashi, but one could hear that too. I want to claim the Goyim is also alluding to the same thing to himself too. In other words, the Chacham and Bina are the Goyim's predecessors. But in fact, the Torah that we learn is higher than that. That's the Goyim's Torah. That's the Torah of man. In fact, the Goyim, in a Sarklos, speaks about Yisrael, Aisa Kuchabich Chachatel, the Chaim Veloshin, as the famous in Shardal, speaks from the Gemara Gittin Vav Mun Beis, that the famous Agadata, the man Eliyahu HaNavi, Chaim Veloshin says that Kosh Baruch is repeating over what man is saying. The Goyim is speaking about himself. In Torah, we reach back before our predecessors. That's what the Torah is. So, in the Goyim, we have something similar to the Ari. Chachma and Bina provide us with Chachma. It's continuous. It's always there. I go to sleep, it's there. And when I go to sleep, the Shach doesn't disappear. It's there. But when I learn Torah, I create new texts even before that. So the Goyim is speaking about himself. Now, I'm not saying Chas v'Shalom, the Kohen is some egomaniac is speaking by himself, but in a quantum mechanical conceptual way, the Kohen is party to this creation of this spiritual conceptual scheme. So both the Kohen and the Ari are not only describing the spiritual world and giving us a framework for the relationship of Torah and mitzvahs and tefillah, but they in essence are also, in fact, giving us a deeper understanding as to what they in fact are doing. What is the nature of creation, the nature of history, the role of man? Where does man fit into the cosmos? Meaning why? Just like man has to fit into the spiritual cosmos, he also has to feel it fit into to history. History and the cosmos are the same thing. So in other words, the Goyim and the Ari are in fact inherently giving an understanding of where their place is in history, in Jewish intellectual history. That's the Goyim and the Ari, and that's the incredible machlokes here. The Ari understood that the ultimate pinnacle of creation of man, where man actually determines the course of spiritual history, will be through mitzvahs, and especially through tefillah. And through tefillah, man will be able to reach up to worlds that perhaps his predecessors never did so, because they weren't privy to the revelations imbued in the Kavanas. The Goyim probably understood the same thing too. The Goyim also, we know that Talmud the Goyim went to Israel. I mean, it was also Messianic. They established yeshivas. The Goyim understood too, for sure. In fact, the Goyim himself planned to go to Israel. The Goyim for sure understood that his activity of Limud HaTorah would reveal levels of texts and of understandings that would reach beyond his predecessors. And that is the way in which history and Torah forges forward. So when we speak about the history and the philosophy of the Kabbalah, life imitates the Torah itself. Not only does Kabbalah have a history and philosophy, but Kabbalah is the history and philosophy. Philosophy and history is Kabbalah. It's all Wheeler's quantum mechanical understanding of the Big Bang in creation. There's no separation between the spectator and the object in the universe. That, in my opinion, is this fundamental machlokes and dispute between the Goyim, how they saw their place in history, and what was man's role and contribution in bringing history to its spiritual end, the spiritual topics. That, in my opinion, is the important message that comes out from here. In any case, I'm going to stop over here because there's a lot to swallow, a lot to think about. And this is just the beginning. I know it's seven. Shev is Teva. Shmon is Namala Minot Teva. But this is just the very beginning. And from here we can have an important understanding of where all these concepts come into play as we face modernity. But until then, from an undisclosed place, Yerushalayim Bar HaKodesh, Kol Tov to everybody.